Now, I had a door-to-door salesman knock on my door once, and he was wanting to sell me his sort of latest stuff. There were these kitchen utensils, some polish, silver polish. And then he came to these scissors, and he said, "Mate, I've got a great pair of scissors. They cut right through a one-pence piece." And as he said this, he took out of his pocket two halves of a one-pence piece and said, "See? Cut right through it." And at this point, you can imagine, I was somewhat skeptical of this. I thought, scissors can't cut through penny pieces, can they? And, you know, is he having me on? Is he for real? He was charging something, which I can't remember, 10, 20 quid. I didn't want to be fleeced. On the other hand, you know, if this was for real, well, pretty impressive. I think I'd want those scissors. So what am I going to do? So I thought I'd give him a test. I took a one penny piece out of my own pocket, a whole one, and I gave it to him, and I said, "Look, if your scissors cut through that penny piece, I will buy every pair of scissors that you have." And at that point, he took up his stuff and walked off to the next house. So important in any area of life to know when someone's faking it. Pair of scissors, no big deal, 10 or 20 quid. But I knew someone who got married, and a year into their marriage, discovered that the person they were married was nothing like who they thought they were, for the worst. And she felt betrayed. She felt lied to. Her whole world was shaken. So important to know when someone's faking it, be it on your doorstep, a salesman, being in a relationship, but most of all, in the church. It's been said that fake Christianity produces no converts, destroys churches, ruins nations. And that is the situation, the setting of 1 John, as we come to these verses. False claims, fake Christianity, and the Apostle John wants to expose them. Verse 4, "Whoever says, 'I know him, I claim to know God,' but does not do what he commands," there's the test, "is a liar. And the truth is not in that person." There's the exposure. Exposing the false claim. Verse 6, "Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. If they don't, they are frauds." Verse 9, "Anyone who claims to be in the light, enlightened, truly knows what God wants to say and say to them, but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Not a Christian, fake." So can we see John wants to expose false claims about Christian life, wants to expose fake versions of Christianity. And in doing so, he wants to reassure those who are living the normal, authentic Christian life, trusting Jesus, following him, living for him, loving his people. I don't know if you've ever had someone talk to you about their own Christian walk, their own Christian life, and to you it just sounded incredibly impressive and just quite dramatic, the things that the Lord did in this person's life and the experiences they've had. And you're left thinking in this conversation, well, I've never had that, and, you know, is something wrong? Or someone tells you of the way, you know, God speaks to them directly. Here's a voice directly, and it's just brilliant because I know exactly what God wants me to do about anything all the time. And you're like, well, golly, why doesn't God speak to me like that? It could be someone tells you how they used to take the Bible really seriously and how they're proud of their evangelical heritage. But you know, as you grow up and you mature and you become more worldly wise, you realize that things aren't as black as white as the Bible, and, well, you need to look around today to find out truth today and what God wants to say to us today. Now, if you've ever had any of those conversations, you will know how it feels. I'll tell you how I feel, Samir. I've had it with all of those cases. You hear this and you think, God, am I missing out on something? Am I lacking something in my Christian walk? These guys, wow, it's so impressive, and they seem real genuine, and perhaps I'm not. And that is how John's readers were feeling as they received this letter, and John wants to reassure them, encourage them that you're the real thing, you're genuine. These other guys, they're false. They're the fakers. You're real. Now, as we come to these verses and see John speaking like this, with those who are in and those who are out, we may feel uncomfortable about sort of John being so black and white in the way he draws these lines and these distinctions. You know, we live in a culture today where everything goes, all beliefs are equally valid. But the Apostle John knows that in situations like this, distinctions need to be made if the church is to survive. Now, it's true back then, it is true today. Now, there are two tests that he gives us to expose the faker and encourage the faithful. What's known as the obedience test and the love test. The obedience test is verses 3 to 6, and the love test is verses 7 to 11. So let's start with the obedience test. Verse 3, we're going to see a mixture of encouragement to the faithful, exposure to the faker. Verse 3, encouragement. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Exposure, verse 4. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. Verse 5, encouragement. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we're in him. Verse 6, exposure. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Now, you put that all together, and what do you get? You get genuine knowledge of God. I know him. Genuine experience of God, abiding in him, is demonstrated in an obedience to his word. Keeping his commands, living as Jesus did. Anyone who claims to know God but does not care about his word, is not interested in his commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, just to be absolutely clear, when John speaks here of the word, obeying his word, he is speaking here of the apostolic word. God's word spoken to us fully and finally in the person of Jesus Christ and now written down for us here in Scripture. That is what the opening verses were about. We looked at these 2 weeks ago, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we, the apostles, have heard, which we, the apostles, have seen with our eyes, which we, the apostles, have looked at and our hands have touched. Jesus' life, when he was risen, touching him. And it is this that we, the apostles, proclaim concerning the word of life, Jesus Christ. The life appeared, God himself, 2,000 years ago. The word made flesh, walked this planet. You could see him, you could touch him, he was here. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. This word is the apostolic word, the word of the apostles written in Scripture. If anyone claims to know God but does not obey what is written here, does not care about what's written here, is not interested in it, they are a liar. And the truth is not in them. So that's the first test, the obedience test. Doesn't matter how impressive someone looks, doesn't matter how persuasive their preaching is, doesn't matter how popular they are. If there is no interest in his commands, Jesus' commands, John says, do not listen to them. They are fake. They are liars. Just flick over to verse 19 of chapter 2, where John describes these false teachers explicitly for the first time in the letter. And notice how he describes them. So this is chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us. Not you, the congregation. They went out from us. Fellowship with the apostles. Fellowship with the apostles' teaching. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. How dangerous it is whenever people depart from the apostolic word. The truth about Jesus Christ fully and finally revealed and written down for us here in Scripture. I had a Christian friend tell me that they were going to have sex before marriage because they thought that, you know, that part of the Bible which spoke about this was out of date and didn't need to be kept today. They knew best. I've had another Christian tell me that they were going to marry a non-Christian. They said to me, I know the Bible says it is wrong, but I've prayed about it and I have a peace about it. And I'm sure that God is saying to me that it is all right. I was reading a book recently arguing that homosexual practice is okay for Christians because the greatest command is love. And if I love them and they love me, you know, it must be all right. Even though Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. One of those commandments very clearly being sex only between man and woman in marriage. Now, that's not the exact situation that's going on here. As John writes this, commentators speak of a proto-Gnosticism going on. That's the beginnings of a rejection of the physical realm in favor of the spiritual realm. That's what the teachers were falling into. Have we got any proto-Gnostics here? Nope. But have we got anyone here playing fast and loose with apostolic teaching? Because this is how their problem started. And it is a very serious one. The obedience test. Doesn't matter how in touch someone claims to be with God, how sure he is of God and his ways and his experience and what God's saying to them, if there is no interest in keeping Jesus' commands, obeying his word, John says, do not listen to them, do not be led astray by them, they are liars, the truth is not in them. But, verse 5, but here's the encouragement. That was the exposure. Here's the encouragement for the faithful. Back to verse 5, chapter 2. If anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. The faith of John's readers was being really shaken by these claims. Some of them, their friends. Their parents were teaching their kids in Sunday school. They were sat next to them in church. Am I really a Christian? What's going on? I don't have it. Were they missing out? Were they lacking something? And John says, no, you're not lacking anything. If you're trusting in Jesus, if you're living for him, if you're wanting to obey his commands, obey his word, you are not missing out. Quite the opposite. You're being made complete. God's love is being made complete in you. If you're complete, you're lacking nothing. You're real, you're authentic, you're genuine. Don't be led astray. If you're someone here looking into the claims of Jesus Christ, great to have you here this evening. There are lots of claims out there about what authentic Christianity is, real Christianity, true spirituality. And the Apostle John, writing with all the authority of Jesus Christ, says here is one way to identify what is genuine and what is fake. Living for Jesus Christ. Living like Jesus, trusting him, obedient to him, becoming more and more like him. As you submit and order your entire life under the apostolic word. That is genuine Christianity. If that is not there, it is fake. Now, some of us here may well be worrying at this point. You read verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. And you're thinking, golly, do I keep his commands? I mean, I'm sinful, I muck up, I disobey. Sometimes deliberately, we say it in the confession. Ignorance, weakness, our own deliberate fault. Does that mean I don't know him? That I'm not a Christian? If anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete. But do I obey his word? How much obedience is enough? You know, to know I'm really saved. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. But there's some areas of my life which aren't matching up to Jesus and how he lived. So where does that leave me? Meant to be reassured? You're not reassured. Can I say, if that's you, it certainly was me when I first read those verses, remember the context. Context is key, particularly with New Testament letters. You've got to understand the situation that the author is writing into. And very clearly, the situation here is false teachers and their false claims, and John is exposing them. He is not exposing the faithful followers of Jesus. Quick cross-reference on this, 2 verse 26, again back over the page, at the bottom there of page 1226. End of this section, a purpose statement in the letter, one of many. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. I am writing about them, their false claims. Not you. He is not questioning his readers' faith. He is reassuring their faith. He wants them to know they're Christian. Let me ask, do you want to follow Jesus Christ? Do you want to obey his commands? You're a Christian. Doesn't mean you obey the commands perfectly. Doesn't mean your life perfectly matches up to Jesus. In the previous section, John said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So it's not about perfect obedience. Do you confess your sin? Do you ask for God's help to obey him more? You're a Christian. You're genuine. You're authentic. The real thing. Fake Christians aren't interested in Jesus' word, his commands, living for him, sitting under the authority of his word. They're not bothered about obeying what he says. You are, in his strength, by his grace. They're fake, you're real. That's the first test. the test of obedience. Now, the second test is the love test. Verses 7 to 11. As the Apostle John narrows in now on one specific command, the command to love. Let me read from verse 7. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Now, is that a little bit confusing? Is this an old command or is this a new command? An old new one. The command to love has always been around. Right from the beginning, loving God, loving your neighbor, always fundamental to Christian living. In that sense, it's an old one. But Jesus himself in John 13 called it a new commandment. As the verse said, its truth is now seen in him, in Jesus Christ, in his life, and ultimately in his sacrificial death for our sins, laying his life down for you and for me to win our forgiveness and relationship with God now and forever. In that sense, it is new. In Jesus, the one and only time in the history of the universe that the command to love was perfectly lived out in all its beauty and depth for the salvation of the world. The surprising thing about verse 8 is it also says its truth is seen in you followers of Jesus. This love of Jesus Christ, this light of Jesus Christ shining in his followers to one another. So this is the second test of authentic Christianity, the love test. And therefore, verse 9, here comes the exposure again. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. By the darkness, they're not a Christian, they are fake. So whenever a new teaching comes along, or a new interpretation of the truth, someone claiming to be in the light, enlightened in a way no one has before, John is saying, look, remember, at the end of the day, there's nothing new in the Christian life. The old command is the new command. It's love, love of the Lord, love of one another. That's genuine Christianity. And that is your test when you hear these impressive claims from others. Do these people love their brothers and sisters in Christ? And if they don't, ignore them, don't listen to them, do not be led astray by them, no matter how impressive they look or sound. One of the things that strikes me about some church plant initiatives I've heard of, and I've heard of a lot, you know, obviously heading up one with Pete, is the hostility that many church planters have faced from those calling themselves Christian. Let me just say, praise God for good relationships with the local clergy, the local churches that we have at Inspire. But sometimes, most resistance of new missional initiatives, new church plants, come from those Christians in nearby churches. And some of the vitriol that I've heard people facing in terms of letters saying, we do not want you here, in terms of their kids being bullied at school by the kids of the Christians in these other churches, in terms of these underhanded attempts to get them kicked out of the premises where they're meeting. You know, all this resistance and supposedly from Christians. And the Apostle John says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. The exposure. Verse 10 comes the encouragement to the faithful. But anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. Nothing. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, that's genuine Christianity. You do. That's great. You're Christian. You're in the light. There is nothing in you to make you stumble. Now, some of us will want to hear a challenge in these verses. You know, how much am I sort of loving other Christians? I can do it more. How much am I obeying this specific command? Look, and it's good to look for a challenge. But this is not John's intention here. His intention is not to challenge the true believer, but reassure the true believer. Others of us may still be worrying. Do I really love my brother and sister? I mean, sometimes I do, but sometimes they can be really annoying, and I don't want to. And when I don't love them, well, golly, does that mean I'm in the darkness then? Again, remember John's purpose, his intention to reassure. not questioning the faithful, reassuring the faithful. He's telling them they're Christian. He's not probing them to see if they're Christian. Have you ever come to church even though you really did not want to? Have you ever sort of dragged yourself along to a prayer gathering even though you wanted to watch the football or soak in the bath? That is love for your Lord, for his people. Before I became a Christian, I didn't really care much from people who were different from me. And basically that meant that if you didn't like mathematics, didn't like chess, and didn't like video games, then I'm afraid you wouldn't be friends with me. And as you can imagine, that was a big disappointment for many people. Still awake. Once I came to know Jesus Christ, once he was at work in my life, I found a newfound love for people that were very different to me. People who liked art subjects. People who liked rugby. People, I can't explain it, but this love was real. And in particular, this love was I had for fellow Christians. There was this bond now. There was something that connected us. And over time, I found myself wanting to hang around with them more and more. You know, now, do you get that? Do you know what I mean by that? That is love. It is love for your brother, your sister in Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. Christian love is hard. It is sacrificial. It is costly. It takes time. It takes effort. You have to give things up for the sake of others. Have you ever done that for someone in church? Have you ever done that for someone in your fellowship group? That is love. You love them. You're in the light. There's nothing in you that's going to cause you to stumble. The more you grow as a Christian, the more aware of your sin you become. So actually, the more you grow as a Christian and mature, actually, the more you feel unloving as you become more aware of how far, you know, short you fall of the standard. But that does not mean you're not loving at all. It does not mean that you are not more loving now than you were a year ago or 10 years ago. Ask someone who hasn't seen you for a while. They'll let you know. And that is what John is telling these people. You do love. You are Christian. You're the enlightened ones, not them. You may look at some of your non-Christian friends and think they're more loving than you. My wife, Jo, and I were thinking about just this week, a few of the parents that we know at Theo's school, our son's school. You know, so friendly, so caring, so thoughtful. Imagine, God, they really put us to shame. You know, and perhaps that's true, but this is not a comparison test. And who knows actually what the real motives and desires are behind other people's actions. Let me put it to you as simply as this. If I were to give you the choice between loving a Christian or hating your fellow, you know, do you love your fellow Christian or do you hate your fellow Christian? What would you say? You would say you love them, right? Of course you would, because you're Christian, because the light of Christ shines in you. So there's this exposure, there's encouragement, there's exposure of the fake Christianity, it is the reassurance of authentic Christianity. There's this obedience test, there's this love test. So the next time that you come across the latest Christian fad, the latest Christian teaching, the latest Christian lifestyle with its inspiring preachers and their impressive claims, next time you're wondering to yourself, am I missing out in the Christian life? Missing something about God and knowing God and experience of God? That they're the real thing, that you're not. Remember these two tests. The obedience test and the love test. That is how you will know whether to listen to them or to ignore them and not be led astray by them. And also use these tests to remind yourself, look, yeah, I am obeying his commands. Not perfectly, you know, but I am. And I am loving my brother and sister. Not perfectly, but I am. And when you fail, you confess your sin, you ask God for help because you are Christian. Because you're real, you're authentic, you're trusting Jesus, living for Jesus, wanting to obey him, wanting to love him, love his people, and God's love is being made complete in you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again that in your word you give us everything that we need to know about living for you, individually, but also corporately as a church, and this warning of false teachers, false claims, fake Christianity. Thank you very much for giving us these two tests, this obedience test, this love test, to know how to expose those who are faking it and not be led astray by them. Thanks too for the reassurance that these verses give, that you want to give, in terms of us wanting to obey you, wanting to love you, love one another, not perfectly, but do, and therefore knowing we have genuine knowledge of you, experience of you, authentic Christian living. Please reassure those who need this reassurance. Please convict those who might not actually be living the genuine Christian life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.